Welcome to Diet, Health and Fitness, and many, many apologies to listeners of Feed Me at the end there. I just messed up the controls, and the song that you were meant to hear leading into the news, which was George Harrison and My Sweet Lord, came on far too early. So I do apologise for that. It's making me laugh my head off here. So hopefully you'll find it funny as well. So you didn't get the recipe for the protein bites that I made the other day, and I was talking about a forward backward sway, which I taught my friend Jeanette. Now my friend Ben is here in the studio with me, Ben Calder. Hi Ben.
Hi, nice to be
here. He's come over from Shrewsbury again, and Ben, you'll understand the forward backward sway and the kinesiology of it all, and
I do,
that works. Well, I'll tell the story again. My friend Jeanette has lost a lot of weight, and she's getting a bit bored of the diet that she's on, so she wanted some way of knowing what was right for her body. And I just said to her, well, do the forward backward sway. And she went, what is it? What's that? I don't know what that is. So suddenly she was into playing again. And suddenly, you know, the thought of the food that she was going to put in her body that was going to be right for her sort of energized her to keep going. Now, she must have lost about 4 stone in quite a short space of time. And she put the weight on due to stress in her life and all sorts of things going on. So the weight's come off, and suddenly she wants more help. So I'd made these protein bites, and I said to the listeners of Feed Me, I'll give you the recipe after the next song. That didn't happen. So I'm going to give you the recipe now. And I'm just going to let Ben know what happened with the protein bites. So I taught her how to do it. She held her hands out, and I put one of these little protein bites in her hand, and her body said yes to it. So she ate it there, and they're like, oh, can I have this? Can I have this? Yes, have it. So then I said, I just want to check in with you about something. And she said, what? I said, I want you to put your hands out again. I'm going to give you another one of these protein bites. And her body said no. And she was so surprised that her body knew what it did and didn't want, that she's like, I'm going to tell everyone I know to do this now. So it was that sort of thing. She was like, so I could potentially have a biscuit, but as long as I don't have two, I'd probably be all right. So, well, ask your body.
Sure.
Just ask your body what it wants.
And this is also the area, though, with kinesiology that you have to be a little bit careful of, because the mind is very good at saying, it will be good for me, I will want it. And, you know, if you look at a piece of chocolate cake and your body's swaying forward, that's more psychological than what the body needs. So you always have to differentiate between, let's look at the logic of what's healthy, what's reasonable, and what my body might need. And very rarely will it need a biscuit or a chocolate cake or
it
something
is rare.
Along those lines.
Yeah, I agree with you. But every now and then, I think it wants something that's in that.
Yeah.
But might not need the whole slab.
Yeah.
You've heard about me going to Chocky Wocky Doodahs in Brighton, nearly killing myself with chocolate cake. I wanted it, and I completely overrode anything
Absolutely.
My body wanted.
Yeah.
And I ate that, and it did not do me any good whatsoever.
No,
did not feel well, and for quite some time afterwards. Anyway, I'm very quickly going to give you, I haven't got a name for these. I make sort of protein bites, balls, bliss balls, whatever you want to call them, all the time. And they all have the same name, but they contain slightly different ingredients. So I was going through my cupboards over the weekend, and in there was a jar that had some homemade sugar-free muesli in it, and it was just sitting there looking at me. So it had ground seeds in it. It had whole seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. It had goji berries, not many. I could count them, probably about 8. And lots of white rice puffs and buckwheat flakes in there. And
nice.
I just thought, I'm going to start with that because it's obvious nobody wants this at the moment. So that was where I started. So that was about a cup of that mixture. So, listener, you can, you know, use anything you want here, but it's sort of the quantities that you're trying to get. So a cup of that with a cup of organic porridge oats for me. And then I put in a cup of peanut butter. And I'm not a massive fan of peanut butter, but it is a lot cheaper than a lot of the other nut butters. And I do use an organic one. I use Meridian. So that's my favourite. I then used up, again, this is sitting there looking at me on the shelf, some rice malt syrup. So it's not overly sugary. Obviously, it's processed in some way to create a syrup, but that was what felt like the right thing to put in this. Now, I added to that, I haven't put the actual quantities. I think I added 1/2 cup of desiccated coconut. And then I've got some protein powders at home. So I added in 1 scoop of the chocolate and 1 scoop of the vanilla. And the protein powders I'm using at the moment are Purple Balance vegan protein powders. And then I've got some 100% chocolate in the cupboard. And again, it was looking at me. Haven't used it. It's very dark, so bitter, no sugar whatsoever. It's 100%. So grated that and just put in what I thought looked about right so I could see them. And then I added 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence. And all of that I just combined until it was thoroughly sticky mixed and then rolled into balls and just added a sprinkle of cinnamon on the top. And there's a photograph on Facebook, and that's what you can see on the plate. Fantastic. Along with the pear. So, yeah, so those are my protein bites. I'm so sorry you didn't get that recipe before the news. So for those of you who don't know, Tracy, you took a bit of a tumble at the end of last week.
Yeah, I described it as a pratfall. 1 minute I was stood and the next minute I was down on my left knee. I bounced up very quickly though. I'm so used to bouncing up from a fall because it's just too embarrassing to roll around on the floor. And I was okay until I actually rolled my trousers up and had a look. It's like,
oh. And then you went.
Yeah, went all a bit wobbly and a bit ooh and a bit ah and that to lie on the sofa. Fortunately, I had a former nurse with me who called the paramedics, and I had the whole treatment, didn't I? And that didn't help me to get seen any quicker at A&E, but unfortunately, they were very, very stretched, even at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And I was there for 7 hours just to have... At one stage, I was thinking maybe sellotape would do the job.
You said gaffer tape.
Gaffer tape, yeah, I thought.
Actually, something stronger than sellotape, yeah, on your knee.
When I took the plaster off, the idea of gaffer tape then suddenly wasn't quite so good. But yeah, it was one of those strange things where I know it wasn't life-threatening, it wasn't really an emergency, but it did need stitches. Stuck there waiting, knowing that there's more important issues to be seen. Oh, but after 7 hours, I'd lost the will to live, to be perfectly honest. And there was no food and no drink, and there was nothing to do. If I'd have gone planned, you know, if I'd have taken cushions, a duvet, some snack foods, and maybe a couple of films downloaded onto iPad or something, but I didn't. You don't think about
no,
that.
No, you're a bit stressed, really. Yeah. You know, the whole thing had really knocked you off kilter, and you definitely needed to wait for the stitches over your knee with the bending that the knee does. That's skin flap that you had wasn't pretty.
No, I think I'd have been all right if I hadn't seen it. And when you're squeamish, you probably don't get this at all, but squeamish.
I'm really squeamish. No, I'm very squeamish. But I'm only squeamish when it happens to me. I'm not squeamish when it happens to someone else. I go into nurse head and it's like, right, assess the situation, call the paramedics. Yeah. I knew I couldn't sort it for you. I knew Steri-Strips wouldn't be enough for the gash that I could see. You needed it stitching. And I didn't have a suture set with me, so couldn't do it for you.
I wouldn't have let you near it.
Yeah, I had no anaesthetic either for it. I think you'd have needed a bit of local in there.
So three huge stitches, because I actually took the dressing off on Tuesday to just change the disintegrating plaster that was on it. And yep, they're very big stitches, and they're they look quite robust.
You've got to keep them in for quite some time, haven't you?
2 weeks when it's over a joint. 10 days to 14 days when it's over a joint, apparently.
Yeah.
That was the thing that was making even more squeamish, is the idea of bending it. But it's absolutely fine. I'm perfectly mobile. And amazingly enough, no bruising, no swelling.
Excellent.
Just the skin took the brunt of the fall. No breaks. That was a big concern at the time. A broken kneecap wouldn't have been good. But yeah, I lived. I was fine. I am
fine. You're
here
to tell the tale.
I just have to go through having the stitches taken off sometime next week. No,
you'll be fine.
Maybe a couple of glasses of whiskey before.
No, maybe a bit of your own therapy might help.
Yeah. Physician heal thyself. All that, yes. Can we talk about something other than my knee now? Would that be all right?
I thought I'd like to ask all of your opinions about standing desks and what you think about them. So, Tracy, would you like a standing desk to do your work from?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to move around a bit more. And I've got an island that I like to use occasionally, but because it hasn't got the space for, particularly for my knee now, but it's not got space underneath it, so it isn't that comfortable. But yeah, so something that isn't always sat down, and particularly as I've just spent 3 days at my desk with my head down working on editing video, and I've had to keep reminding myself to get up and move around because I don't think your brain works as well when you're not moving around. What about you, Ben?
I think they're a great idea. They give the body a lot more freedom to move and a lot more options to be in a good state of alignment. And there's a whole series of Qigong practices that called Jamjong that are based around standing
Jamjong.
Still.
Yeah, I like
Jamjong.
Yeah, I like that.
Means standing like a tree. And you can actually, there's a whole series on YouTube called Stand Still, Be Fit that you can access for free. And it teaches you about basic standing postures. So you can use aspects of that. But the system itself was designed to help rehabilitation. So it starts actually from laying down, sitting, and then standing. So a standing desk is a great way of actually increasing your energy, increasing your stability, increasing your strength. So I think they're a great idea. Mm. But you really do need to make sure that your footwear is appropriate.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to spend a lot of time standing and you're in bad footwear, then you're actually going to exacerbate problems that are there. And you need some consideration of actually how to hold your spine appropriately, because again, you could compound problems if you don't do it correctly.
So what about no footwear?
No footwear's perfect. And again, things like the Vibram Five Fingers, the barefoot shoes, the Terra Plana Vivo Barefoots, you know, something that really gives you a good sense of balance and stability. They're a great place to start, but you definitely need some kind of postural instruction as well to make sure that you're not compounding the same problems you would get from a chair, but just all the way through the body rather than from the waist up.
I know there's a lot of radio presenters that stand up, and I think it is for that reason. It gives you more energy and your voice sounds more alive as well if you're moving around.
Yeah,
I'm not planning to stand up right now because our microphones are a little bit low.
They're a bit low, aren't they? And the desk is a bit low as well. Now, I first came across this with Michael Mosley when he was looking into fast diets and how we can actually utilise our energy better, and it was suggested to him, as well as high intensity interval training, that he should move more at work, he should get a standing desk, he'd sort of use up 300 calories more per day minimum by having a standing desk and all of that. So that's where I came across it, and they actually filmed in an estate agent's in Chester the ladies in the estate agents using a standing desk. And it was very interesting to me in that it was the older ladies who preferred the standing desks and the younger ones who preferred to sit down.
Mm.
So I'm not quite sure why that would be, but that struck me. And then recently I've noticed that schools are looking to getting standing desks for children, which strikes me as an absolutely brilliant idea because they have so much energy.
And this idea of getting small children to not fidget, it takes an enormous amount of energy for them to not fidget. I mean, my 6-year-old is bouncing all over the place all of the time, apart from when he's fast asleep. And even then, it's either side of his sleep he's bouncy. And I think they can concentrate better if they can just use up some of that reserved energy that they've got.
And I think adults as well, there's an awful lot of us, I include myself in this, I like to move around when I'm doing something. It helps my creativity. And so, I do it at home, but I don't have a standing desk. I have an old table and I put a footstool on the top. My laptop's on the top of that. And if I've got sort of lots of books open and lots of notes and I'm moving through them, I just like to be able to stand up rather than getting up and down from the chair all the time, because I have a chair on wheels, so sometimes I nearly miss it, you know, as I go to sit on it, and it's like, oh, if I just stood up all the time, it would be so much safer. So something that I've come across recently in a health food store in Chester is birch water. Never heard of it before, and the lady who runs the shop said it's the best thing ever, more hydrating than normal water. So what it says on here is that it's organic, it's 100% natural, it's undiluted, it's straight from the tree.
So what part of the tree?
Which part of the tree? I'm just going to read this to you. So I'll read the blurb. I like a bit of blurb, and it's nicely written. So it says it's a natural source of vitality. So when the pristine Carpathian snows begin to melt in early spring, I know, eyebrows are raised, the birch tree prepares to come back to life. It draws up the new liquid from the soil, acting as a natural filter and encouraging the sap with nutrients essential for the new year's growth. Without any harm to the tree, tapping directly from it results in a perfectly clear, freshly sweet drink packed with nature's own goodness and renowned for centuries as a health-boosting and detoxifying tonic. And then it's said to boost hydration and detoxification, lower cholesterol, and even prevent hair loss.
Mm, perfect.
How does it do all that then? Because when I actually look at its nutritional values, there's nothing in it. It's 0000000. So its ingredients are organic undiluted birch tree sap and citric acid. So take it, the citric acid would be for...
Preservative.
Yeah. Some people are
you're
quite...
opening it. That's £3 bottle of water you're opening.
£2.95 for 250 mils. So we're all going to have a...
But you get a lot of good micro elements in there, you see, and that's one of the things that's good about something like birch. Yeah, it's a bit tricky though, because there'll probably be about 70 or so micro elements available, so it takes them a bit of space.
Could put that though, couldn't they? 70 or so micro elements in this.
Let's have a swig, see what happens.
Yeah, so Ben's going in, so we'll let you know what he thinks. Does it taste of anything?
That's interesting.
Interesting, okay.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't taste like water, I'll tell you that.
It doesn't?
Okay. No.
Okay, does it taste of tree?
It kind of. But I love the fact that birch sap itself is so versatile. You can make beer out of it. You can make a syrup like maple syrup out of it. You can use the sap for actually water. You can turn it into a tar that you can use for waterproofing boats. And the bark itself is one of the best materials to use if you're making roof slates out of natural material because it lasts so long.
I've never tasted anything like that.
It's unusual, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it? Considering it's saying there's next to nothing in it. Well, there's nothing in it.
It's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It just is.
Does it taste any more sort of hydrating than having a drink of water, do you think? We're sharing the bottle, by the way, listeners.
Yeah. Whatever you've got today, we've all got it. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm tasting the citric acid or...
Yeah.
It doesn't taste like tree.
Doesn't taste like tree.
Not to me. Not that I know what tree tastes like. Doesn't taste what I imagine tree to taste like.
It's a little bit borderline like a diluted cleaning fluid of some kind, to be honest.
You're not selling it,
are
you?
No,
you're
sure. But I could imagine drinking out of a I could imagine drinking out of a brown bag and not feeling too disappointed.
So I'm just wondering why, if the Russians and Scandinavians like it and they promote it as a health product... Yeah, why don't we have it here? We must have birch trees here.
Extensive birch woodland, yeah, and we could. And there are people around the country who do. They make the birch beers and they make the birch syrups as
well. You don't have to destroy the tree to actually...
No,
it's like maple syrup tapping.
No.
They literally put a plug into the tree and it drains out and they put a bucket underneath.
So also Siberia, so Russia again, I suppose, like to drink the old tree sap. So
we're kind of quite far away from our natural remedy side of things, though, aren't there? There aren't too many things that are normal in the UK behaviour and diet patterns that are just good, natural, you know, like willow water as well. There are plenty of other things that are just out there in our environments that we can go and enjoy.
We've just lost the art of it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, ooh.
So what's that one called and where did you get it from?
This is Tree Vitalize and it was from Chester Health.
Okay, well, if anybody is a big fan of birch water, we'd be interested to hear the benefits that you've experienced. So what have you been up to recently, Ben? What's going on in your world?
Well, I've had the last few weekends been doing a lot of workshops, actually. We had a shadow workshop, looking at kind of shadow self stuff. Then we did a workshop with my brother, Simon Calder, on myofascial Dao Yin. So this is a Qigong practice there for kind of energy practice and looking after the body. And it's one of my really big passions. And, you know, it's something that I practice every day. And I really consider being the most beneficial health pension to pay into is a Qigong practice.
I like that.
Yeah.
And do you like working with your brother as well?
Oh, love it.
You get on.
Yeah. He's an amazing character and similar to me, you know, kind of 25 years worth of study and practice in a lot of the fields that he works in. And, you know, he's an amazing character. So it's always insightful. And we get a lot from each other when we work together as well. So it's a real nice sharing.
And what have you got coming up? Have you got any more workshops? Are you done for the season?
I'm kind of done for the season. So I'll just be kind of focusing on doing the regular Qigong classes that we have down at Integral Health in Shrewsbury and looking ahead to the kind of stuff we're going to do next year. So hopefully we're going to have more Qigong days and weekends and also some international retreats as well. So that'd be really good.
So you'd like to teach abroad yourself?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. let me think about that. Sunshine, beaches, no English weather. I'll do that. England's beautiful and at times at the moment, you know, all the colours that are in the leaves, really inspiring and, you know, really enjoyable. But there's nothing quite like a good bit of sunshine and a nice warm sea, a sea that you don't need to wear a wetsuit to go in and swim.
I think the other thing is when you're running a retreat abroad is knowing that you've got the reliability of the weather. So if you're planning an outside activity, you don't have to be prepared to bring it inside just in case the weather's bad.
So. And there's also the immersion factor of it, actually giving yourself time more than just an hour, more than just a day, more than just a weekend, to actually really concentrate into practice and allow yourself to develop and ground and really get a hang of something so that when you go back, it's much, much easier to carry on. And that's where the real benefit comes from.
So what locations have you got in mind for your...
We've got hopefully next year we're going to be at the first Portugal International Yoga Festival. Also Sweden, Turkey, India and Bali are on the cards at the moment.
Good. With all
another,
of them.
With another potential for Dubai as well, if we're really lucky.
Okay, so you're not planning to spend a great deal of time in the UK then?
I'll still be here, but I'll be away a bit.
Okay, that all sounds exciting. Do you think we can go for research purposes?
Yes.
Please feel free. I'm going for research purposes. Whether or not my accountant agrees or not, I don't mind, but it's all research.
Now, Ben is going to give a little demonstration of sound to help with clearing some of our internal organs. So you're going to be able to describe this much better than I am because I have no idea what you're about to do. So take it away, Ben.
Thanks, Denise. So this is part of one of the Dao Yin practices that we teach. It's known as the Six Healing Sounds, and it's a way of looking at the five elements within classical Chinese medicine and how they relate into particular organ functions, how they relate into particular emotions. So we've got, in the order that we do them, we've got the lungs, we've got the kidneys, we've got the liver, we've got the heart, and we've got the spleen. And we're allowing, as we make the sound that's kind of associated with each one, we're allowing the negative emotions that, in classical Chinese medicine, they believe are stored within those organs to be freed up. And it's a great practice, great to do at the end of the day because it helps to get rid of kind of all the build-up of the stuff that's been happening during the day. Yeah. And they're very, very simple to do. I mean, there are levels that you can do it at, but just even to sit or lie and make the sound is very, very potent. So the kidneys, we're looking at fear and anxiety as being the sound, as being the emotions here. With the lungs, we're looking at grief, regret, and guilt. With the liver, we're looking at anger and frustration. Heart is kind of hatred and jealousy. And the spleen is worry and pity. So it's nice to get rid of these kind of emotions. And the sound for the lung is it's a little bit like steam escaping. It's teeth together, and we're just going. So as we make the sound, we're imagining our grief, regret, and guilt being squeezed out of the lungs, so everything is coming out. So you can just take a nice breath in, allow the sound to come out. And just get rid of all that grief, regret, and guilt that's building up in
like
there.
Like a pressure cooker.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Mm. And it, you know, repeat that kind of 3, 6, 9 times in a row, and it just allows that to come through. Now, the kidney sound, which, as I say, is fear, anxiety, we're looking at quite a different sound. The sound is choo. It's almost like the word chew, but with lots of W's at the end, and we soften it. So as we breathe in, take a nice breath in, focus on the kidneys, and then just release the sound. Chew! And just imagine our fear and anxiety being squeezed out of the kidneys there. So it's a really nice kind of sound, really nice release. So we can do that one more time together. Go on, inhale. Chew! And just let that fear and anxiety release out there. And when we move on to the liver, the sound that we're going to do is more like a shh. So unlike the lung sound where our teeth are lightly together, this is kind of mouth open like in an O shape. So we're squeezing the liver and we're squeezing our anger and frustration out of this one. So as it comes out, we just take a nice breath in, focus on the liver and shh. Just imagine that liver squeezing all that anger and frustration out. And then we move into the heart sound. The heart sound is like the beginning of the word hawthorn. So it's the H-A-W, but then with lots of W's. So as we extend it out, it's and this is a really good one for actually recognizing how much excess heat is coming out of these organs as we practice. Because if you just blow on your fingers, what temperature is the air as it comes out?
Cool.
Okay. Now make the haw sound. What temperature is the air?
It's definitely warmer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So there's a shift in the type of energy that's coming out. And with the heart, we're getting rid of our anger and frustration. So we just take a nice deep breath in, focus on the heart. And just let that hatred, that arrogance, that jealousy come through there. And then the last sound in the five element sequence is for the spleen. So this is earth element. So this is our worry and our pity, which is often why our spleen, our pancreas, our stomach gets so upset. It's because there's so much worry going on. And the sound, it looks like the word who, but with a lot of O's on the end of it. So it's who. So like a bit like a ghost in a tunnel. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Who. And again, as we squeeze it, we're getting all of that worry and pity out. So just take a deep breath in.
Quite a deep one.
Yeah, sure. Just letting all that worry and pity out.
Yeah. This makes a good deep sound.
Absolutely. And as you repeat these as well, there's colours that you can draw into each of the organs to help fortify it. There's positive emotions we can draw in to fortify it as well. So it's a really nice practice to do. Just helps to balance the emotions nice and easily. Get rid of the build-up of the day so we're not carrying it through into our sleep and in the next day.
Love it.
Yeah. And if you want some more information on that, there's actually a free ebook and an audio with some associated practices on my website, which is bencalder.co.uk, and you find that in the resources section under energy strengthening.
Well, there we go. That's the end of another Diet, Health and Fitness show for this week. Thank you to Ben for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you to Denise for taking the first 15 minutes to finish a show from the hour before.
Thank you for allowing that. That was very grateful.
I think it was all relevant anyway. All right, then. So that's it. Thanks very much for listening to Diet, Health and Fitness on Callan FM.